We're going to get this prelude to discipleship this morning out of Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 38. Prophecy of Jesus' birth is what the authors have entitled a lesson today, taken from, as I stated, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. But however, I need you guys to do some reading for me. I need somebody to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. All right, quick, I need Terry, why don't you run over to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 for me. I think that'll get us started if we do that, because today we're going to talk about the prelude for discipleship. And a disciple is simply a learner and follower of Jesus Christ. Everybody, a learner and follower of Jesus Christ. See, I told y'all in 201, it's that way whether you're doing Sunday school 10 years from now or 100, a basic doctrine. The definition is always the same. So in order to do discipleship, you got to have disciples. Okay. All right. So, but, you know, we tend to put disciples and discipleship with those who followed the God-man, Jesus Christ, and those who now participate in family church school, Bible study, BSF, you know, ministry studies, and all that sort of thing. But how did we get there? And when did God think about this thing called discipleship? Well, who did Genesis 3:15 for me? Who did it? Sister Davis, if you would, you don't have to stand. Just give us a good rendition, good voice.
Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Now, it's interesting that in chapter 3 of Genesis, God is talking about saving man. God saying, I got a provision. I got this to save you. And in discipleship, we know that discipleship is so that men and women, boys and girls get saved and mature in that salvation. Y'all with me? Over in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, there's a verse. There's a word. Let's hear it, Terry.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign.
The Lord himself will give you a sign.
The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son.
Well.
And he will call him Emmanuel.
Uh-huh. Isn't that interesting that Isaiah is predicting that a virgin would give birth to the Savior? This is the prophecy that is about to be fulfilled. And this morning we get to have some insight into how it came to fruition. But it's not just a prophecy that a virgin would have a baby. She would have a baby that was indeed very distinct in all of creation. This baby would be something special. But in today's lesson, we're going to see a lady who literally becomes a disciple before discipleship was possible, was popular. Y'all not with me. Y'all not excited. Because verse 26 says, and what?
And in the sixth month, an angel gave birth to the Son of God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth.
Now, first of all, Luke is the writer. And Mac, I'm here to tell you, Luke was a physician, and Luke tried to appeal to the Greek mind, to the Gentile mind. Because he was a physician, Luke, in many ways, gives us insight that a lot of the other Gospels don't, because Luke is almost like what I call a bubble writer. See, he lets you know what's going on in people's mind a lot. Okay, and so he does that parenthetically. But Luke wants to give you that personal insight, and Luke stresses the humanity of God. Y'all didn't hear me. His whole purpose, because he's a physician, and the way he's writing is that this God that all of you in the past have been somewhat familiar with has come in the flesh, and he is a man. Luke's going to stress, unlike John does the exact opposite. John stresses the fact that he is this man, is in fact God. All right, we're there. But the interesting thing about 26 is that for 400 years, God hadn't said one word to the people of Israel. For 400 years, since Malachi, he has not said a word. But now he's sending angels. And just a few days ago, he spoke to Zacharias, the priest. And now this morning, he comes and talks to what I'm calling one of the first disciples. Oh, yes, I'm doing it, and I think I can legitimize it. But he comes to, it's funny how where God goes looking for his disciples. You know, he doesn't go looking in the fancy places, the palaces. You know, he doesn't look at the White House, the Trump palaces and stuff like that. He looks in Nazareth. All right. Which someone once declared, is there anything good in Nazareth? He goes to the ghetto.
Yeah.
And talks to a young lady, an angel. Ain't spoken in 400 years. Didn't come talking to the prophets. Didn't come talking to the Sadducees, the Pharisees. None of the great political minds of the day came talking to first a priest and now a young lady. Her name is Mary. Let me introduce you to Mary and give a little bit about her background. Verse 27. Now, here's the thing. We find out a couple things about this disciple. The profile of this disciple is that she's a virgin that's engaged. Oh, can't find a purer scene than this. This is a perfect scene. You know, Nazareth may not be that hot, but this is a hot scene right here. You know. This is Joseph's little lamb. This is Joseph's little lamb that's fleece as white as snow. You know, and this little lamb is betrothed to Joseph. We find that out. Joseph is of the house of David, and so is his lamb. Oh, y'all got to see this. Who got my 2 Samuel 7? Who's there? Whoever's there, go there. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, so out of the house of David is this little lamb in Nazareth of Galilee. She's engaged to a man, and she's a virgin. That means that she has never been touched by a man. All right? That's very interesting. So that's a pretty good resume for a disciple. You know, honest, yielded. But the one thing I want to remind you is that she is of man. She is of Adam. And that verse that you read in chapter 3, who's that that read it for me? Sister Davis, the verse that she read in chapter 3 of Genesis is talking about her. Mary, chapter 3, verse 15. Okay, It's a prophecy. And so now we come face to face with a fulfillment of that prophecy. The beginning of a fulfillment of that prophecy. Her name is Mary. She's a virgin and she's engaged. Engagement in those days, it was really more like marriage. Because there was some, I mean, in order to get out of it, you know, now people get engaged and they say, hey, don't want to do this. You go your way. But all you slick people going around collecting rings. Oh, I'm not supposed to go there, Terry. Yeah, collecting rings. You got to understand, when someone gives you a ring, even in this day, you have to give the ring back. Okay? Okay? But it becomes a contract. But it comes a contract for performance. If you don't perform, right, you got to return. That's for free. If all of y'all collecting rings. But in those days, it was more serious. And as a matter of fact, in order to get out of the engagement, this betrothal, he literally had to do what would be considered divorce publicly. But he also had some rights. If she messed up, if she's not who she says is, we gave her the profile, said she was a virgin, out of the house of David. If he finds that one of those is wrong, especially that one that starts with a V, he could kill her. You got to understand that. He could have her stoned to death. Okay? So this is the profile of what I'm calling one of the first disciples. And the angel came unto her and said, what did he say? We know that this disciple was favored. And you know what, folks? Anybody that God has asked to go and make disciples is favored. Okay? But I want to caution you, in this favor is a little different. It's different in that she's asked to do what no one else will be required. She's chosen. She's selected to do what nobody else will be asked to do. Y'all got to hear this. Nazareth, nowhere, common, ordinary girl, ain't nothing special about her. The only thing special about her is what Joseph thinks of her. She gets chosen, and it's said that she is favored to do this task. She's been called out to do this task. She's been called to this duty. It is a privilege, a high honor. And the angel says, you are highly favored, but the Lord is with you and you are blessed. Now, here's the thing. Some folk have taken this too far. You cannot deify Mary because she was favored. Because you're favored. You've just been asked to do something different. She's been asked to do what no one would ever do. Yeah. Hey, there's an honor, but to whom much is given, much is required. Y'all just remember that. Then when you go to think, I think I could have done that. Hey, you don't understand this. First of all, you're a virgin. You're betrothed. And what this angel is about to lay on her, I don't know if she can be able to handle this. No average run-of-the-mill, God-doubting person could handle this. So she was favored for a number of reasons. She was favored because God knew that not only was she the one that he chose, but she's the one that would accept it without reservation, that would trust. This response of this disciple is something else. Because see, the more you get to know about God, the more you trust him. come with me, because they don't believe this is a prelude to discipleship. She is about to enter, Brother Rashad, basic Christian doctrine. Oh, y'all didn't see it? Oh, y'all knew I was going to go there? I know some of y'all were thinking, oh, he's going to have a good time with this today. But we're here. Come with me. Verse 28 says what? And say it again. You're highly favored. The Lord is with you. You're highly favored. You're about to be asked something, but don't worry, because you are blessed and God is with you. And when she saw him. So it sounds like she heard him before she saw him.
All right.
Oh, come here, Romans, when you need it. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Last time I said, this is a word directly from heaven. And here's what the word is saying, Nikita. Blessed are you among all people. You've been asked to do what no one else has been asked to do. You are highly favored. You are blessed. But with that blessing comes responsibility, but you don't have to worry about it, because God is with you. And he tells every disciple that same thing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you. That's just what a disciple is told to do. Here's what she's being asked to do, and she's been told the same thing. God's going to be with you. And when she saw him, she was
troubled and cast in her mind what manner of
salutation this should be. Oh, the writers, they're so Gentile, Vanessa. But see, if we resurrectionize this, we're not be able to handle it. Because I know when God has asked you folk to do some stuff that don't even compare to what she's been asked to do, they get all kinds, man, what you talking about? We got to do what? But here's what she did. She heard him. And in her mind, she kind of threw this thing around. You know? And this upset, see that troubling there? In other words, it disturbed the water. It disturbed her inner being, because she recognized, I'm being asked to do something that's powerful. So I need to toss this around. And she's beginning, she's probably saying, did I hear this right? Did he just say, I'm highly favored? And I'm blessed among all women? There ain't no woman ever been blessed like this. God's going to do something with me. I'm troubled by this. But you know why? God knows the heart. God knew one thing about Mary. She trusted him. Folk, you don't know how important it is for God to be able to trust you and you trust him. Because it is a reciprocal relationship. You know, because if God knows that you are trustworthy, he can trust you with most stuff. Oh, y'all don't believe me. See, a disciple has to be, and I'll show you here in a few minutes in the lesson, where because she was trustworthy, God, it really showed her favor and her blessing. I'll show that to you. Let me get right to it. And the angel said what? What? Whenever God is about to ask you to do something great, whenever he's asked you to do something great, it's one thing you don't have to worry about. You don't have to fear. Because God is with you. I told you last week, fear not. God has not given you a mind of fear. Stop being so scared of everything. Don't be scared. Don't be, I know this is great. Can you imagine this young woman? This is a teenager, you know. And you know, we got 40-year-olds that live in our houses now. You know, we treat them just like children. You know, this girl ain't nowhere near 40. And the issue is, this is a young child. But she is displaying some maturity, and she's going to get some more. You know why? Because that's what disciples do. Disciples learn about who they're following. He says, don't be scared, for thou hast found favor with God. And when you find favor with God, you can do anything without fear. You don't have to, I told y'all didn't have to worry about that test. Look at it, all of y'all here now. Didn't they not? Y'all were there. Yeah, Sister Harriet. You were there. Didn't you tell them? Well, y'all worried about tripping about a test. Fear not. God ain't giving you no spirit of fear. God's got your back. He's got you learning exactly what you need to learn at the time that he wants. Because if he'd have showed you this any other time, you'd have probably forgot it by now. You may not have received it. You weren't receptive. Understand one thing, and we'll see here even with Mary, that God comes to those that are receptive. And to those that accept God's word, to them he has given them the ability to become sons and daughters. That's what John says. But you got to be receptive to the word. And behold, thou shalt, what? And at this point, I can see about 50 of y'all heading for the hills. You gotta look at this disciple. Now you're beginning to understand what the task is. You're beginning to understand are you gonna call this favor after you really understand this? The angel says, look here. You are going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. For Mary, she's cool as a cucumber. But I can tell by her response. She's probably saying, okay, at what point? And maybe some of y'all would have got that too. But most of you got, wait a minute, I'm a virgin. Don't go there. Don't start nothing. You know. If you know I'm pregnant, I can tell you right now that's impossible. Because that's what she's gonna say. But he tells her she's gonna have a child, even though she's a virgin, and that child's name would be Jesus. Who read Isaiah 7:14? And who turned that air conditioner on? I'll run y'all out of here. I'll fire it up. I'll make it so hot in here. They better tell them. They better get that air. No, this bald head. Isaiah 7:14 said what? What did you say, Terry? What did you tell him? Yeah, What did you tell him? You told him that Isaiah said. What did he say? 7:14. You call him Emmanuel. God is with you. A virgin's going to do it. You're going to have the baby in Bethlehem. Not only, guys, you got to line up a whole bunch of coincidences in order for this to come to fruition. To go back 500 years and have this. Ain't nobody made this up. This is a prophecy of the impending birth of Jesus Christ. You're going to call him Jesus, Yeshua. Joshua, God saves. God was thinking about salvation when you weren't thinking about nothing. You were hell-bent on hell, and God was thinking about salvation way back there in Genesis 3. Because what happens is the angel comes and tells Mary that your profile is right. You know God. And then he begins to tell her, God is with you. He's giving her a little theology. And then he tells us, you're going to have this baby. And he's going to be called Jesus. Jesus saves. He's talking about salvation. See, and the reason why you had to be saved is because you sin. This girl is going to learn hermeneutics, salvation, theology, and Christology all in a quick setting. Y'all worry about 12 weeks. Talking about it's too short. Try one day. Oh, she's going to get all of it right here. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall Christology. She says he's going to be known as the God man. In other words, he's 100% God, 100% man. He's God, yet he's man. He's God in the flesh. He's going to come up out of you. That makes him man. But he's from the Most High. That makes him God. Yeah, y'all don't get it. He's teaching this girl incarnation. I think we had that in basic doctrine, don't we? Because she's a disciple. That's what you teach disciples. You teach them about God. You teach them about sin. You teach them about Christ. You teach them about the work of Christ. You teach them, oh, we're going to get to it, soteriology. He right here. I told you, see, y'all complain. Y'all won't even let us teach it. You know, hey, let's get it over with, you know. Let's go have Thanksgiving turkey. But it's in the fall. He says, the Lord God shall give unto thee the throne of his father David. This is called a partial fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. And let's see, we teach that in eschatology. Oh my goodness. Oh, this girl is getting, this disciple is going to be ready. She's going to be ready. He says that throne that was promised to David is going to be given to the one that you will bear, whose daddy will not be a man, because that would just make him another man. But instead, it's going to be of God. He's going to be of the Most High, because he is Most High. And he shall reign over the house of what? Second Samuel, chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. David was told that as a part of the Davidic covenant. But understand the connection, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, he had made that Abrahamic covenant with Abraham. And without the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant can't really come to fruition. Would not have come to fruition. Oh, he's teaching this disciple. One session, he's teaching her all these doctrines. Oh, did I forget? He's teaching her an essential, because she is a virgin, and the virgin birth is an essential. It is not a non-essential. You can't blow it off. Because if you give one inch on the virgin birth, you and I could have stayed home and got some extra sleep today. That's right, because everything else implodes on itself. So, and a lot of folk want you to deny the virgin birth, that it couldn't have happened that way. Well, if it didn't happen that way, first of all, that makes God's word void, in effect. Because it's here. He says it. And if he didn't do it, that means that she had a baby that was by a human being, and humans can't save humans. That's how you get there. And then said Mary, y'all tell me exactly what she said. Now, some of you skeptics, I know you're here, but let me clear it up for you this morning. It's all right to ask God questions. questions. Y'all hear me? When you ask questions, doesn't necessarily mean you doubt. But here's how I know it. Whenever you ask the question of God, and he knows you don't doubt him, he'll always give you an immediate answer. y'all, I snuck that right in on you. See, because you trust God, God can trust you. He can't trust people that are willy-nilly. One day they believe kind of a little bit, and now you go off and tell somebody, or you modify the message. But can I trust you to tell the message as it is exactly given? Can I trust you to not go out there and say, well, you know, I got in this situation. I don't even know what happened to me. I just woke up and I was pregnant. Y'all stay with me. I want to show y'all something about a real disciple. A real disciple trusts God enough that God will trust him or her to give him or her the answers. I know it. It's right here. Here's what she says. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What she's saying is that, yes, I know Deacon Snead in future years will teach anthropology, and I understand anthropology. I understand biology also. And I realize that, you know, man, well, I've got to come together, you know, somehow. So I'm just asking Mr. Gabriel, how can this be since I have not known a man? Can you give me some insight into it? And see, in her heart, that's what she was saying with her lips, but in her heart, what God was saying was that I trust God, but I'd like some insight. I'd like to be able to take the word because this is the only gospel I don't know. This is the true message, and I want to get it right. I don't want nobody saying, can hang me up and say, that is impossible. I don't want the guys, the medical doctors, to come in and say, well, nah, this didn't happen. So God says, I'm glad you asked. And because you trust, I can trust you. Here's your answer. Listen to verse 35. Now, at this point, Sarah started laughing. Abraham's wife started laughing. Zechariah, he started doubting. Cost him whole vocabulary. Okay? But God just laid something heavy on her. He says, first of all, just like all my disciples, you shall have power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The only way you can make disciples is you got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't hear me. But with her, he says, because you are highly favored, he's going to overshadow you. In other words, he's going to get in every fiber and being, even down to your womb. And he's going to catch an egg and energize that egg. Y'all don't hear me. He's giving her, this girl, man, she's getting a lesson. This is a disciple. See, this is how you make disciples, because disciples are not born, disciples are made. Better get that. Yeah, all of y'all going to one-on-one. I tell you, I just give all the answers out. Everybody's class. I give answers to everybody. Yeah. Yeah, he's making a disciple here. He's telling her how it worked. So when somebody gets to asking her, how can this be? She says, the Holy Ghost power. So first of all, the angel. See, her testimony is always the same. It's got to be consistent. Terry, Tracy, it's got to be consistent. You can't go there changing it up one day, trying to fix it up so to fix your audience. Her testimony is, I once was a virgin. But one day, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Not a holy man. All right, but the Holy Ghost. And he overshadowed me. And he got in my very being. And he made me the person that I am today. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't hear me? See, because disciples are indeed made. But it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. And this girl is getting more in one session than most of us get in a lifetime because we don't want to stay in the process. Mary didn't run away. You know what she did? She stayed in the process. Oh, somebody better holler. Now y'all better stay in the process. You can't get to 106 if you don't stay in the process. You can't make no disciples if you don't stay in the process. Oh, I'm telling you, I didn't pick the title, okay? Now, I want you to look at it. One, he shall be called the Son of God. So when them people run up in your face talking about, what did Joseph think about his son? He said, look here, wait a minute, let me clear you up. That's God's son. You can't do that. That's God's son. And Mary, wait a minute. You say that's God's son, but I remember you, and you were with Joseph. Now you ain't gonna tell us the truth. You know, hey, Joseph didn't want to wait. You know, you guys got a little passionate. She would say, I look in your eye. And I tell you, that's God's son. Why you say that, Mary? Because I'm God's woman. I'm highly favored and blessed. That's her testimony. That's the message. That's what she's going to teach. See, she's got to teach this. Because here's what's happening. They just told her, you are going to carry that which has already carried you. You don't understand it. And y'all think, oh man, that's it. But guess what? That's what he does when he asks you to be a disciple. He's asking you to carry that which has already carried you. He says, you go, but I'm carrying you. Just like you make disciples, but I got the power and I'm giving it to you. And so when you go out and witness the folk, you may not even see the results. But you can say, I did what God asked me to do. I listened to the message. I learned the message well, and I didn't fall from it. Understand, this message is key to Mary's very existence because she's got to go tell, first of all, Joseph. Then she got to go tell, and matter of fact, she decides to tell the priest. That's instant death, folks. But when God is in you, the word is in you, you don't worry about self. You know how I know that Mary is one of the disciples? What does Luke 9 and 23 say, Amber? If any man, thank you, sometimes you can read it. If any man would come after me, if any man would be my disciple, what must he do? Let him deny himself. Pick up his cross. Let me tell you something what that cross is. That cross may be you have an impugned reputation. You got people gossiping about you. They thought you were smart. They thought you were an outstanding chief till they found out you were saved. Oh, yeah, you've seen it. I've been there. Oh, man, this is our shining star. Let's promote him. We want to get him here. You a what? You think who? No. You think us? Oh, no. I thank God. It's all right. You got this one, but you won't get no more. But hey, God is with me. The message ain't going to change because my friends become my cross. I'm going to pick up that cross and I'm going to carry it daily because I'm going to deny myself. Because who wants to do it? Who wants this job? I thought y'all talking about she was highly favored. Do you realize the talk that's going to happen as a result of this? Man, come on now. You know them folk down at Resurrection, the church campus at least, you know. You done told me about them. They can't hold water. They tell everything. Man, look at that. There she goes strutting around. 8, 9 months pregnant. Talking about that ain't Joseph. Baby. Who they fooling? She's got to do that every day. But she got to run the risk that Joseph is going to ape. Oh, yeah. You know how you brothers can be. You know, oh, no. You what? Oh, hi. Yeah, okay. You got jokes, don't you? No. I know. Wait a minute. You all this time, we said we're going to wait. And I ain't want to wait. You now you don't want to wait. And I ain't want to wait. And you talking about? Nah, you better. That sound like a holy lie to me. That don't sound like no Holy Ghost. But Mary's testimony is, this is the Son of God. That's going to be her word. That's going to the disciples' word. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. He's saying, you see, Mary, I'm appealing to your intellect now as well as your faith. If God can do it for her in her old age, supposed to be barren, with God, anything is possible. And that's what you got to do. You got to know that God has called you on assignment. He's called you to go. He's called you to be a disciple. And he's saying, I'm with you. I got your back. Don't talk about your inabilities. Talk about his ability. God doesn't want your ability anyway. I don't care what you got. He don't want it. He wants your availability more than your abilities. And he says, I got you. I'll be your strength. I'll be your rock. I'll get you through the tough places. And when they're talking about you behind your back, I'll be with you. I got your back. You'll never even hear it because I got your back. I got your back covered. Yeah, it just falls off. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Then I want y'all to hear a disciple's response. I told y'all she was a disciple. This is it. Verse 38 says what? Do y'all know how many times I've longed for this scripture every time I've asked somebody, a deacon, a trustee, a pew member, an usher, a choir member, when I've asked them to do something for the Lord? Do y'all realize how long I've just wanted to hear this scripture? Because this is how disciples respond. This is how they respond. They don't say, well, look here, won't you check with somebody? I tell you what, go and get Tony Harden. Maybe they'll buy it. Maybe she'll buy it, you know. Maybe Vanessa, you know. Maybe Sister Dave, somebody else. Won't you just skip a couple of thousand generations and go get somebody else? But no, you know what she said? You got it. It's me. I know it was you. You looking for me? I'm the one. Because I want your will to be done, not my will. See, a disciple submits his or her will to the will of God. You don't do your own thing. God knows what plans he has for you. So you submit your plans to his plans. If you're going to be a disciple, disciples don't go out doing what they want to do. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no, I witnessed today, but I ain't witnessing tomorrow. I'll go sit in class, but I ain't gonna learn no scriptures. I'ma just do what I wanna do. No, you ain't the star in this movie. You've got to submit your will to the will of God. And here's what Mary said. Lord, here am I. I'm the one to do it. I'll take on the bad reputation. I'll take on the scorn. I'll take on even the risk of dying for telling this message. God, I'm a disciple. Mr. Gabriel, go back and tell God, I'm the one. I'll be sitting right here waiting. You and the Holy Ghost show up whenever y'all get ready, because I'm ready. This is your handmaiden. The profile of the first disciple. Prelude to discipleship. God bless you. We'll keep you.